Along with the changing leaves and cooling temperatures comes harvest time for late season vegetables. This hour, harvesting and storing that late season produce. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. Linda Nave and Richard Geron of Iowa State University Extension are here today. We'll talk about how to harvest and store winter squash, sweet potatoes, beets, carrots, and other late season produce. And Linda and Richard will answer your questions. You can join the conversation at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or 866-780-9100. Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. This hour, we're going to talk about harvest and storage of late-season vegetables. But before we get to that, we wrapped up a record-breaking Iowa Public Radio membership drive yesterday. In fact, last night at 7 p.m., we heard from more than 4,300 people stepping forward to support Iowa Public Radio in the space of a week. And of course, that's in addition to the people who have invested in Iowa Public Radio as sustaining members in the past. Thank you so much if you are a part of Iowa Public Radio as a member. You really do make all that we do here possible. And it's so exciting to hear from so many people in the space of a week. So thank you for making our fund drive a success and for making Iowa Public Radio what it is. And I also want to mention that tomorrow, the Horticulture Gang is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Horticulture Research Farm. It's just north of Ames, and we're celebrating all afternoon tomorrow, 12:30 to 5 p.m. The event is free and open to the public with tours of the farm, games for kids and probably for grown-ups too. We'll have a program at 3 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope that you will join us there. And joining me now here, Linda Nave, Iowa State University Extension Value-Added Agriculture Specialist. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Charity.
And Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And you'll both be there tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. And the weather forecast looks pretty good. Possibility of rain later on, but good.
Right.
It's going to be great.
Mid-80s.
Yes.
During the day.
So dress cool. Wear your Hort Day t-shirt.
We need the rain.
That's true. You can't have a big group of gardeners and then wish away the rain, can you?
No.
All right. Well, let's talk about late season produce, because although it feels like summer out today, it is getting to be autumn, and it is getting to be time where we're going to be harvesting some of these late season crops. What kinds of things are we talking about, Linda?
Well, we're talking about things like winter squash, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, turnips, parsnips, leaf lettuce that's been planted late. Kohlrabi can still be harvested. Late plantings of a lot of things can still be harvested, and some before frost and some after frost.
All right. Well, let's talk about how to know when to harvest some of these things, because some of these crops can be a little bit tricky to know when to either dig it up or pick it. Let's talk about winter squash. How do you know when it's ready?
Well, winter squash is interesting because it has a very firm skin. So if when the fruit becomes full-sized and colored up, do the fingernail test. If you can't really penetrate the skin with your fingernail with a little bit of force, I mean, you don't want to use like a knife strength thing, but a little bit of force, it should be nice and firm. Also, on many winter squashes, but not all, many, such as butternut squash, that stem should be dried, should be fairly woody. And so at that point, you can judge it on size, color, and then maturity of the skin. The vine may be starting to die down, but not necessarily. Most cases it is by this time. The best time to harvest winter squash is right before frost. And the reason I say that is because if the vines are still alive, the bugs, the insects, the beetles will start moving right towards the squash. And if your vines have already died down, you might start to see that. So I would get them out of the ground right away, get them out of the garden right away. And also because if it gets too chilly, it might damage that skin and prevent it from storing as long as its potential could be.
All right. So don't delay. Should we talk about how to store squash, or do you want to talk about all the different kinds of produce at once?
Let's talk about all the different produce when to harvest at once. Let's first start with those that should be harvested before a freeze.
Okay, good. What do we want to harvest before a freeze?
Well, before, just after. I prefer before for sweet potatoes. And the reason for that is sometimes if you don't get right out there after a freeze, the vines will start to rot and can move down towards the tuberous root. So I would say harvest just before a frost because you want to wait just as long as possible with sweet potatoes. They get their sugars, they get their size, their flavor at the end of the season. So wait as long as you can. And be very careful when you dig them because you need to cure them at about 60 degrees because that also improves the flavor and it improves the storage capability and longevity of the sweet potato. So cure them for a couple weeks at about 60 degrees.
And when you said be careful when you dig them up because you don't want to break the skin?
That's right. You don't want to put any nicks or bruises on them. They're very tender, and if you nick them, that will be a point of entry for pathogens. So be very careful. Dig out a ways, and then you sift it through your hands and find those gems under the ground.
Right. And the curing process, what does that do?
Well, the curing process with potatoes and with sweet potatoes, it tightens the skin in and around, and it thickens the skin in and around the tuber or tuberous root, and it makes it sturdier for storage. Let's just put it that way. And in many cases, it does improve the flavor as well. And squash needs to be cured too. Squash can be cured at a little bit higher temperature and then stored at about 55. Don't let it get too cold and don't let it freeze at all. But it does need to be cured as well so that it sits for a while and that skin gets nice and firm to protect it for the winter.
We all need a root cellar.
We do. Or, yeah, some dark place in your basement. You know, homes used to have those, and some are really going back to that. But they do store fairly well in a dark basement on a shelf where the temperature doesn't really fluctuate, and it could be in the 60s at night. That's probably the best place in a home for them right now. And then check them frequently. You don't want to have them stacked. Because if you stack them, if one goes bad, then it quickly spreads among the others. Single layers, and then check them frequently for any signs of blemishes and discard those that show signs of rotting.
All right. Would you want to put, like, newspaper in between them to keep them from touching?
No, not necessarily, but you could line your shelf with newspaper in case that one does start to have a blemish on it and it oozes or something, that it catches it so it doesn't drip down.
All right,
but that
something
would be
absorbent.
The only thing. But not between them. Just a lot, just enough space for good air movement between them.
All right. What other vegetables do we need to think about making sure we harvest before the frost?
Well, carrots should be harvested before a heavy freeze. You don't want to wait too long, but so I would say don't keep them out there too long after a freeze. And those are carrots that have been planted, let's say, after June. Those that you planted early in the spring, the typical time we plant, they should be coming out of the garden right away. They're more than ready to be harvested.
And how do you know when they're ready?
They reach a certain size.
You have to pull one up to make sure.
You almost have to pull one up and see. And usually you can tell by the seed package will say 65 days. I would say if it says 65 days, wait about 75 days and then harvest it. And then pull them up. You know, they'll find variable sizes if you didn't thin properly, but that's okay. The little ones are still tasty as well, too. But you don't want to wait so long that those carrots will either crack with rainfall. And that happens a lot if they get too large and we get a nice rain and they just crack underground, or they start to flower. Those are the times when you don't want, if you harvest them, just discard those.
All right. And with carrots, how long can you keep carrots?
You can keep carrots for several, really 2 to 3 or 4 months if you keep the temperature cool and the humidity high.
All right. And Should we talk about things we want to wait until after a frost for now?
Yeah, there are some that you can really wait till after frost, and actually it improves the flavor. Brussels sprouts is a good example. Brussels sprouts are very long season. We typically plant them in the early spring and nurture them along through the summer. And then in the fall, they produce the sprouts, harvest them when they're about an inch in diameter, just these nice little firm sprouts that are on the stems. And you can harvest the whole stem if you'd like to. But they can be harvested continually clear up until they're killed by real killer freeze up Thanksgiving. As the plants grow, remove the leaves, the sprouts form where those leaves are removed because they're in the axils of the stems and the leaves, and just keep plucking them off the stem as you harvest throughout the fall season. Kale is another one that you can harvest quite a bit later, and again, the flavor becomes, I think, a little sweeter at the kale and the Brussels sprouts after a few light freezes. So those are some things that you can harvest really effectively and to their benefit after a freeze.
So with Brussels sprouts, can you store them similar to some of these other vegetables we've been talking about, or do they not last quite as long?
You know, they don't last as long. You can put them in the refrigerator in a bag for a week or two, but that would be about long enough because the odor, let's say the gases that they give off, it is not good for the flavor of the Brussels sprouts.
Okay, so they're not going to get better.
No, they are not in storage.
As you keep them in the, your kids are not going to get more enthusiastic.
No, although my grandson, Brussels sprouts is his favorite vegetable.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Other things that can be harvested, after a freeze, is a leaf lettuce. If you have a late planting of leaf lettuce and you're still cutting it, it can handle a light freeze. Light freeze, I mean anything maybe 28 and above or warmer would be adequate for lettuce. If you've had kohlrabi still in the garden and it's pretty good size, it can handle a light freeze, but I would harvest it as soon as you can. And potatoes. If you still got potatoes in the ground, I would get those out right away because the vines have likely dried down. If we get any rain, they might sprout. And rot in the garden, or they might just start resprouting in the soil. It's thinking, hey, it's nice weather out, get a little moisture and we'll resprout.
Right. With these warm temperatures, that's a little bit of a danger, isn't it?
That's right. So, and dry beans are another one. Once the beans dry, if you're growing, let's say, pinto beans or black beans or turtle beans in your garden, once those pods are fully dry, I would harvest them right away. Because what'll happen is they'll shatter in the garden and then you won't get any, but the soil will get all the seeds.
So hopefully you've gotten all your tomatoes canned or frozen, whatever you're going to do with them, and now you can move on to working on preserving these late season vegetables.
That's true. And I know a lot of people that still have tomatoes coming on. Either they planted late, their plants survived any kind of blight, and they're still coming on. And the thing with tomatoes are, watch if you still have them sitting on the vine, watch them carefully because the first light freeze will take them out. And then same thing with peppers and eggplant.
So, and then summer's really over.
Summer's really over. All your good, delicious summer vegetables are gone.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment to answer your questions. Linda Nave is here, Iowa State University Extension Value-Added Agriculture Specialist, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. You can call us 866-780-9100. Is the number. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Linda Nave, Iowa State University Extension Value-Added Agriculture Specialist, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Horticulture Specialist. And they're here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And let's get straight to the phones. Linda is on the line in Earlham. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. And I apologize, my question is not related to your subject.
No, that's okay. Any plant-related question is good. What would you like to talk about?
Okay, I want to plant some bulbs, specifically naked ladies.
Okay.
And the woman that sold them to me said, you need to plant these in chicken wire cages, otherwise the squirrels will eat them. My next question is, do squirrels eat all bulbs? Because I have other bulbs I want to plant.
Okay. I don't think that's a great risk. What I'd probably do is go ahead and plant them. And if you're worried about the squirrels, maybe covering the ground with maybe chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth, just putting it on the surface, leave it there over winter, take it off next spring. They typically don't bother daffodils at all. And that's because daffodils, as far as the foliage, the bulbs, rabbits, deer will not bother daffodils. They're poisonous, and so they will not bother them at all. But as far as tulips, on occasion you'll have squirrels digging them up. Definitely once they come up, rabbits and deer will eat the foliage, sometimes right down to the ground, but they will not bother the daffodils. So you don't have to worry about them at all.
Okay.
But I've never seen squirrels try to dig up naked lady bulbs. They're pretty good size. They're probably three times larger than a tulip bulb.
And they're
fairly deep, so they usually don't mess with them.
Right. Make sure they're planted as deep as they should be. If they're near the surface, they're far easier to dig up. But if they're basically in the ground 4 or 5, 6 inches deep, it's going to be hard for them to dig those up.
Mm-hmm.
You said 4 to 6 inches deep?
Yes, 4 to 6 inches deep.
Oh, that sounds a lot easier than making cages.
Oh, yes.
No, don't do that.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I planted several naked ladies in the past, and I don't know if the bulb was not good, but they don't appear. And so when she said, oh, did you know squirrels eat bulbs? I said, oh, I have a lot of squirrels.
Well,
so.
Now, normally they don't bother them that much, but as far as the site, basically they do need or want a well-drained soil. That's important. And you can grow these in part sun to part shade. They do fine.
All right. And if she's not seeing them come up, I mean, are naked lady bulbs kind of finicky?
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're very easy to grow. So if you plant them and they don't come up, then I would suspect, well, maybe they were rotted or something, because they should.
Or damaged. Or
damaged
the growing
in some
point
way.
Was damaged,
yeah.
at planting time.
And I know we'll talk more about bulbs as the season goes on. When it's this hot, do you need to think maybe I shouldn't plant my bulbs yet, wait a couple weeks?
Well, ideally, I would wait till October. It's a little bit early yet, so I would wait until October. That's the ideal time. That does give them a chance to develop a root system if we have some rain, if you water, and that's imperative as they go into winter. So I would definitely wait. Sometimes if you plant, let's say, like maybe early to mid-September, and then if we have some nice weather, we get some rain, they may actually sprout, which is not a good thing. So you want to wait until it gets cooler. I wouldn't plant before October.
All right. Next question. This one's from Wayne in Tama. Hi, Wayne. Wayne, are you there? Wayne must have left us. All right. Steve is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
About a week ago, I planted a butterfly bush, and it was doing okay, about 20 inches high. And then one morning, about 5, 6 days ago, I woke up to find things savaged. Every branch had been nipped away, and I have woodchucks, squirrels, deer, rabbits, in fair numbers. So I don't know what did it, but they didn't see fit to eat any of the foliage. They just nipped off the branches. I thought, well, I've never propagated, but I'd like to give it a try. So I took all those branches and divided them and put them in moist potting soil in an aquarium, covered the aquarium with saran wrap. And you may laugh at this, but I thought, well, I poked a straw through it, and I feed them with exhaled carbon dioxide every now and then. They seem to be doing well. My question is, what can I do to nurture them? You know, there's many of them. What can I do to nurture them through the winter so that I could replant in spring?
I guess I would check to see if they're actually rooting. And so I would dig up one and see what they're actually doing.
Okay.
They're not the easiest thing to root. So I would think they might be surviving just sitting there, but actually not rooting, which they have to do. So I would actually check to see if one is rooting. If they are, terrific. If they're not, they may never really develop a good root system. Now, when you say butterfly bush, I think of the woody shrub with the long flower cluster at the very end. Okay, that is a woody shrub, and so they're kind of hard to root. So I would definitely check to see what they're doing. And if they don't have a root system yet, and if it's been some time, I would be inclined, they're probably not going to root, no matter what you do. But if they have a root system, just leave them in there for maybe a few more weeks, and then pot them up in potting soil.
And give them good light in the winter months.
Right. Put them in a sunny window.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Steve. So the idea of feeding them with carbon dioxide?
I don't think that's important. The important thing is that...
High humidity.
High humidity and the moisture at the base so that hopefully rooting issues will form and then you have the roots.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your question. You can also send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joanne is on the line next in Cedar Falls. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I was wondering if it's too late to start some grass seed. I just had a new front walk put in, and I've got exposed dirt, and I'd like to not have my dog digging in it all winter.
Okay. No, it's not too late, but you don't have a lot of time. You want to get that done in the next, I would say, week or so.
And, oh, yeah, I'm planning to do it today.
And after doing that, you have to water. Late summer is the best time to sow grass seed, but this summer has not been a good year for that because it just hasn't rained in the last 3-4 weeks. And once you have the seed down, you have to keep the seed bed moist. So if it doesn't rain, be sure to water once a day.
Okay, great. Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks a lot, Joanne. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Tom is on the line in Madrid. Hi, Tom.
Hi. This is the first year I've ever had plant any dahlias. I put them in late and didn't even think they'd grow, but all of a sudden now they're blooming. They're gorgeous. And I was just wondering if I have to dig them up and take them in the bulbs this fall or if I can leave them and just put some mulch on top.
Well, unfortunately, you can't just leave them. They're what we call a tender perennial. If we live somewhere south or in a more moderate climate, perhaps, but here we have to dig them. And the best time to dig them is right after a freeze. I mean the very next day. You want to let them grow just as long as they can. And then when you go to dig them, cut the stem back to about 4 inches above the ground, and that way you'll have a lot of stem to work with. Again, just like the sweet potato, you want to be really careful when you dig the dahlia so that you don't nick it. Then store your dahlia. Don't hose them off. Just let them sit for maybe a day and let that soil dry up around them and just sort of crumble it off without touching it a lot. So you don't wash it off, but you don't want to bring all that soil into your house. And then store them in a box, maybe with shredded newspaper, peat moss, or something loose that allow good air movement through it. A cardboard box works well. Might want to label them as if you have specific varieties. I found a good way to label them would be to take a little masking tape and tape around the stem, just at the top of the stem, so you have a little tail on it, and then write the name of that variety right on that masking tape. That way you know which ones you have and which ones survived through the winter adequately. Then next spring would be the time where you could divide that tuberous root because you can see the buds where they are. But they really overwinter very nicely in shredded newspaper. You may need to go down in the basement occasionally and maybe add a little water, check on them to see that they're not all shriveled up. Just a little bit of moisture to moisten that newspaper maybe a couple times in the winter, and they do very well.
As far as the storage temperature, that's important too, as far as storing them. That temperature, as far as the storage temperature, should be around 40 to 45. That's what you're shooting for. That's kind of hard to find in the average home, but mm-hmm. that's what you're looking for. It might be an unused bedroom that's kind of sealed off in the wintertime, maybe the basement if you have a cool location. Mm-hmm. But that's what you're looking for is 40 to 45.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Lou is up next in Des Moines. Hi, Lou.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
Well, we have a very large tulip tree in our front yard that is sapping all over, and my understanding is that it's infested with some pest. My question, I guess more so of a discussion, is how to get rid of it.
I would assume it probably is a pest, and fortunately, you probably don't have to do a thing. I'm guessing it may be aphids. Aphids are an insect that sucks sap from the plant tissue, and they feed on the sugar within that sap. But then they have all this watery liquid to get rid of, and they excrete it, and it falls on anything below them, so it tends to cover the bottom leaves on the tree. You may see it on the sidewalk, on the driveway, on the windshield of your car, that type of thing. And so that's what you typically see. And we're seeing a lot more of it this year, I think, because of the dry conditions. Because typically what happens if you have a periodic hard rain during the summer, that tends to control the population. It kills some of them. But lately we haven't had that. And so we've had this warm weather, no rain. And so the aphids have been multiplying in number to the point where you're seeing this. As I walk to work, I see this on some of the neighborhoods where the sidewalks are kind of, you can just see there's a little bit of liquid on them. You can see it on the highways. And so you know what's going on. There's something going on there where you're seeing a little bit of sap falling to the ground.
So you don't think I should be concerned about the tree at this moment?
No.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you.
They'll be shedding their leaves pretty soon, and usually Mother Nature kind of takes care of it.
A nice reset button every fall, every winter.
Yep. Yeah, start over. Mm-hmm.
All right. Frank is on the line next in Fairfield. Hi, Frank.
Good morning. I have planted pumpkin plants, giant pumpkins, zucchini squash, and lemon squash in the same patch. And cucumber beetles killed both the pumpkins and the zucchini, but left the lemon alone, which is very prolific. I'm wondering, this is the second year in the row they've killed off my pumpkins. Do I need to move the patch, or how do I deal with this?
Well, moving the patch in a small distance won't make a big difference at all with regards to your cucumber beetle problems. They'll be back. I can almost guarantee that. Sometimes the populations are higher than others, but they always find their way back, regardless with crop rotation like that. So what you've done is you've created an environment that's very conducive to their liking, and they go after plants that they like better, and they leave others alone. So sometimes growers will put out a variety or a plant that the insects really like, as they call it, a trap crop. And then what they do is they spray that trap crop when the insects are there in high populations because they tend to migrate to those crops. So as far as rotation, the best thing to do is you can watch them when the first populations come out and treat them with an insecticide at that time. So the populations don't continue to get high. But you will continue to have them.
I used very heavy-duty insecticides on malathion and several others, and nothing killed them off. They just kept right on killing the pumpkins and the zucchini. So what is the insecticide you think actually deals with that?
I think 7 or 8 does a good job. Was your insecticide a newly purchased one or one that you'd had in the cupboard for a while?
Yes. Yes, and also the pumpkins were heavily dusted with 7 through the entire, before the episode and during. So 7 does not touch cucumber beetle.
You know, I think we've just had a really bad year. Anything you want to add, Richard?
Well, I would prefer a liquid rather than a dust because a dust is hard to apply and get uniform coverage.
And so they hide.
and they hide. So I'd be inclined to use a liquid. When you're using 7, apply the material hopefully in the evening or early in the morning so you don't bother the pollinators as much. But uniform coverage, and I would use a liquid.
Mm-hmm. All right, Frank, thanks a lot for your call. Sounds incredibly frustrating. Before we get to the break here, Nick has this long question. He says, when should I plant garlic this fall?
Right now. As soon as you get it in, from the garden center or from the mail order, I would plant it. And make sure you plant it not too deep, but deep enough so that it's about an inch or so, inch below the soil surface, and water it well. You might see sprouting this fall. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It'll go through the winter. Actually, I personally think that's a pretty good sign that it's going to make it through the winter, but you want to keep it watered this fall. So if you plant it, don't just forget about it.
All right, and we've got time for another short question. This one's from Tyler in Des Moines. How long after planting boxwood bushes can you start trimming and shaping them?
I would say give them at least a year, one full growing season. And if they planted them this year, make sure that you're watering at this point and you keep on watering until the ground freezes, because that first winter can be very difficult for boxwoods.
All right. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. Richard Geron of Iowa State University Extension, horticulture specialist. Linda Nave, Iowa State University Extension, value-added agriculture specialist. You can call us 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And hey, we would love to see you tomorrow. We'll be out at the Horticulture Research Farm just north of Ames from 12:30 to 5 p.m. celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Hort Farm. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today on Talk of Iowa, and you are welcome to join the conversation with your questions, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Richard Geron is here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Linda Nave, ISU Extension Value-Added Agriculture Specialist. And let's go back to the phones. Mark is on the line in Hills. Hi, Mark. Oh, Mark, are you there? Guess not. Okay, let's go to David in Des Moines. Hi, David.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate that. Hey, I just had a quick question about some honeyvine milkweed. Not exactly sure how this got into my backyard. Spent the last year overseas in Afghanistan. Came back, and it's like everywhere. So I really don't want to use Roundup or any type of chemical. I was wondering if you knew of a natural way to get rid of this awful weed. It's everywhere.
Well, it's a nasty weed, and there is no easy way regardless of what you'd try. The options are pretty limited, either trying to dig it up or using a herbicide like Roundup. It's going to take more than one effort. It's going to have to be repeated over time, because it's a nasty, nasty weed, and you have to destroy the entire root system, which is easier said than done. So either digging or something like Roundup, and do it over.
I guess my question is, like, so on the research I've done, it said get the root system, but I see that it's everywhere. So it's all along my back fence, and then I found it in the bushes and on both the north and south part of the lawn. So it's not just one area. So I'm just wondering, are you suggesting then that it's the same root system?
No, but the roots are probably all over the place, all over the place. Not just one root system, but you probably have many, many plants, and the roots are probably all over the entire area where you have this. And so it's going to be, I think, extremely difficult to get rid of. But it's going to take persistence. And basically, again, this may be a 1 or 2 year chore where you have to go after it repeatedly, because once it's established, it's going to be very, very hard to get rid of.
Well, and it sounds like it is established. And David, do you see pods on your plants? Are they proliferating?
Yes, I've been able to rip everything off before the pods have blossomed, or I've found at least three times pods, you know, starting to form, but I've been able to get it out before they've actually, been able to seed. But then they just keep coming back. So I guess I was just being optimistic that you would have maybe an easier
answer.
No, I'm afraid not. But another possibility would be to cover it with the area with a tarp, a nice thick tarp, and leave it there for maybe a year or so. Maybe that would be enough. But this is a very tough plant, so I think it's going to take some effort.
Well, sorry not to have an easy answer there, David. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call.
That the neighbors have.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. Pam is up next in Altoona. Hi, Pam.
Hi. There is an aggressive swarm of, I would assume, yellow jackets or something that is burrowing into a bush on the corner of our house, and we've gotten stung many times. Just wondering if what we need to do.
Well, I'd probably call the entomology staff here at Iowa State and see what they would recommend. The number for entomology...
We've tried and left messages, but no one has called us back.
Okay. Well, you might try calling the plant diagnostic clinic here at Iowa State. They do have an entomologist, and so you might try calling them. Their phone number is 515-294-0581, and that's the Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic, and they do have an entomologist on staff, so you might try that.
All right. Well, good luck, Pam. Thanks a lot for your call. And next, we'll go to Rahem in Des Moines. Hi. Rahem?
I think you must be saying Rahul.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. What's your question,
okay,
sir?
I have calli lilies. Somebody gave it to us as a gift. And after the flowers die out, I left the bulbs and put them in a pot. It came back next year, but I didn't get any flowers. Same thing happened next the following year. Just wondering, is there anything I need to do? Why am I not getting any flowers?
These are daylilies?
Calla lilies.
Calla lilies. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they don't have exactly what they like as far as a favorable environment. Something apparently is missing, and for that reason they're not producing flowers. Do not fertilize heavily, because that may discourage flowering. Make sure they have a moist soil, and also that they get partial sun but not full sun. And typically that's what they need. Something apparently is just not quite favorable enough, and therefore they're not able to flower.
How are you overwintering them? Are you letting them go dormant?
Yeah, you know, I just leave them in the pot, and I just leave them in the house, and, you know, I don't do anything to it. In the wintertime, I don't water them. In the summertime, I water once a week, just like indoor plants.
Well, are
That's
you?
That's what I said.
You've kind of got us stumped here.
Well, I'm not sure what the problem is. You might even consider buying some new bulbs and see how they perform. But apparently something is just not favorable enough as far as the environment.
All right. Maybe time to start all over again. Sorry about that, Rahu. Thank you so much for your call. Next up, we've got Marge in Ames. Hi, Marge.
Oh, it's Marty. Yes. I have a question about it's a tricolor beech tree, and I have a branch that's probably 8 or 9 inches across, and it's a main leader. But I don't know whether I have an insect problem or whether squirrels would have chewed it almost halfway around the bark.
Well, squirrels can do that, where they kind of strip off some pieces of bark. They do that to trees. It's a pretty common thing.
It's in the crotch, and there's a squirrel nest above it.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to be rotted at the edges. It looks like it's been chipped away.
Well, it's possible. They will strip off pieces of bark. I guess if it were an area where you could reach it, you could maybe put some hardware cloth fencing around that area so they couldn't come back and actually strip off more. Because if they go all the way around that branch, they're going to effectively destroy that branch. So to maybe
just call what would you put around it?
Hardware cloth fencing.
Okay.
It's metal fencing that you can buy at hardware stores, home centers. It's basically metal fencing that you could cut to that area and put it around it and attach it to it so they couldn't come back and cause additional damage.
And they have various size openings. It could be a quarter inch or half inch openings.
Terrific. How would I know that it's not an insect or, I mean, everything is firm. It's just like the whole top layer of bark has come off.
I don't know of any insect that would do that. When you see that type of activity, and in my yard, I'll see pieces of bark occasionally on the ground, and I have plenty of squirrels. It's the squirrel doing it. So,
The fencing sounds better than Tabasco sauce then.
I think that would discourage it because at least they might go elsewhere and stay away from that area where they might cause even greater damage.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Let's do a few email questions here. This one's from Kevin. He says, do you recommend fertilizing flowering shrubs and evergreens in spring or fall or both? What time of fertilizer do you recommend?
Typically, nothing at all. Usually, IO soils are quite fertile and we don't have to fertilize. And so I typically don't recommend it. Now, if, for example, they have these trees and shrubs, they're growing in their yard, they fertilize their lawn, they're indirectly fertilizing their trees and shrubs because they're getting their fair share. So typically I say you don't have to. If you wanted to, I'd probably do it in the spring before bud break, and I would use something like 10-10-10.
All right. Here's a question from Marlene. When can you trim the foliage from peonies? Do you have to wait until after a frost? Mine had mildew this summer and look bad, so I'd like to do it soon.
I would cut them back basically probably mid to late October. Even though they look bad, if they're still partly green, they're still manufacturing food, and they use that food, they store it, and the more food they store, the more flowers next spring. So as long as they're at least partly green, I would tend to leave them.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jason is on the line in Ames. Hi, Jason, with a comment about the cucumber beetle. What do we want to talk about?
Thanks for taking my call. What I found is that most of the time when I go out early in the morning, I see the cucumber beetles congregating quite heavily in all the flowers of the different squash plants. So what I used to do is I just kind of, when you startle them, they fall. So if you tap the sides of the flowers, they'll all kind of fall down to the bottom of the flower, and you can, if you're quick enough, you can tip it over and get them in your hand and smash them. But another thing that I've found that works as well and maybe a little easier is I have a little, like a shop vacuum. It's a handheld little thing that's got a nozzle on it that will let me get into the flower. And if I do the same thing where I kind of startle them down into the flowers, I can suck them out of the flowers. And if I do that often enough, I can usually reduce the population down far enough that they don't cause damage. It's kind of tedious work because you have to do it early on in the season when they're really starting to ramp up.
Less tedious than picking by hand.
Much less tedious than picking by hand, and much more effective as well. So it'll work for them. And then if you see squash bugs out there, you can suck them up too, and then, you know, give them to your chickens or whatever. But,
All right, Jason, thanks for the tip. Now, this is the second person in the last couple of weeks who is using a shop vac on pests. This must be a growing trend.
This is good. Yeah. Well, they're battery operated. You can take them out into the garden.
All right. So that's an endorsement?
No, it's not an endorsement. I mean, what works for you, I mean, if you only have two or three cucumbers or two or three zucchini plants, that works. It's fine. I don't condone it at all. But I would say if it works, keep it up because it's not doing anything harm in the environment.
All right.
It seems to be working for them.
All right. Bob is up next in Carlisle. Hi, Bob.
Yes, I have a question to ask about several rose plants that I have. Right now, I'm still waiting for the ground to get a little softer so I can plant them. But I've noticed that the leaves are starting to turn yellow. Could that be from too much water, possibly?
These are roses?
Right, these are roses.
Okay. It could be that, or maybe black spot might be a problem, too. I think what I would be inclined to do is maybe water the area where you intend to plant.
Okay.
Because I think you need to get these in the ground as soon as possible.
Right.
So I would go ahead, water the area nice and thoroughly, wait a couple days, dig a hole, and put them in the ground.
Okay.
All right.
That's why I thought I'd ask, because the other ones are planted seem to be all right, so I thought I'd ask and see if maybe this was a problem with these ones in the pots.
And once you get them in the ground, keep on watering about once a week or so until the ground freezes.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Rick in Britt. Hi, Rick. Oh, I don't think Rick is there. Common problem today. Steve is on the line in Fort Dodge. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hey, I've got a question about planting a large area of grass seed. The situation would be we're reclaiming 2 to 3 acres that's right now soybean field for our church, and I'm kind of taking the lead on getting the soil prepared, getting the grass seed put down and all that. And I've got some access to some equipment, so it won't be such a big job. I'm more concerned with what kinds of chemicals would affect the grass seed that the farmer might have used that I need to be aware of. And then full sun grass seed, what would you recommend? And also, is it something that needs to be drug in? Do you recommend rolling? And then final question, I guess, is the moisture issue this year. I don't know if we can actually water that big of an area. So do we try to hold off and wait for a better season? Or do we take our chances for a moist winter? What do you recommend?
Well, right. We're getting awfully late to be doing that. And I'm not sure you have all the time to get everything done as far as preparing the seed bed and then seeding properly. And the weather this year has not been cooperative. So I think I might be inclined to put it off until next year for that reason. Because if you hurry, if the weather doesn't cooperate, I think you're going to have very poor germination. So I might be inclined actually to wait next year. And actually, spring is not the best time. It's actually late summer. Typically mid to late August. I suppose you might try up a portion next spring and see how that goes. You might be surprised by the results, but oftentimes we tend to get more weeds coming up than grass seed. But maybe around the church itself, in small areas, you may want to go ahead and seed those next spring. And if you do, there is a actual product you can apply. It's a starter lawn fertilizer that contains a special herbicide that will prevent the germination of crabgrass seeds, but allow the grass seeds to actually come up and germinate. So around the church in these smaller areas, you might want to use that and do those next spring and then do the rest possibly in late summer.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Steve. And let's slip in this last grass question from Nikki. We put down a decent amount of grass seed a few weeks ago, tall fescue, and we aren't seeing much growth. We've kept the areas consistently watered. Should we put down more seed in our short window here, or should we be patient?
Be patient. Keep on watering.
Okay. And odds are in her favor, you think?
I think so. Yeah.
All right.
Just don't give up. Don't give up.
Hang in there, Nikki. Richard, you're on. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Linda Nave, thank you.
Thank you, Charity.
And we'll see you both tomorrow out at the Horticulture Research Farm. Again, that event is open to the public from 12:30 to 5 p.m. You can find out more information on our Facebook page. It is going to be a lot of fun, and we hope to see you there. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Have a great weekend.